Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan with my lovely lady and very best friend, Sheila Crawford.
Happy, happy to all, and thank you for joining us in today's study in the Word of God. And as always, let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Most generous Father, we worship and adore you. Thank you for sending your Son, and may he soon return to rule and reign over all the earth. As the bride of Christ, we take authority over any harmful force hovering around those listening right now and render all evil powerless and inoperative. We curse the root of all types of cancers and diseases amongst your people, that your bride might be healed in the name of Jesus. We remain steadfast in our prayers, asking you to plow the soil of the hearts of our unsaved loved ones, so that the seeds they receive may grow and flourish. Bless abundantly our faithful supporters as we sincerely thank you for your many provision. And may you, O Lord, be pleased with today's study. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a little break from the Old Testament prophets and today study the words of a New Testament prophet named Yeshua.
And that would be the infamous Matthew 24.
Well, it surely is famous, and we did an extensive study last year that you can always go and listen to on our webpage, but I have been asked to do a shorter overview. Therefore, we will forego the news today to have enough time. If you are a new believer, we especially hope you enjoy this overview and then, on your own, dig deeper as new truths come to light. So, to give you some context, just prior in Matthew 23, we see Jesus scolding the scribes and the Pharisees.
Yeah, he even called them serpents.
And tells them that prophets were sent to them, but mostly rejected, and some were even killed. Now, he finishes chapter 23 by lamenting that he was willing to gather them under his wing, but they would not. Now, chapter 24 opens with Jesus predicting the destruction of their temple, which was very devastating news, as this was God's house, his earthly domain, and their main place for worship and sacrificing. So, honey, if you could read verses 1 and 2.
Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do not see all these things. Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down."
And sure enough, it was set on fire in 70 AD by the command of the Romans, and when it had cooled down, we know from the historian Josephus that the Romans came back, they separated and scraped all the stone bricks because the gold had melted in between the rocks. So the prophecy came true right down to this very detail, where not one stone was left upon another.
Precisely, just as he said.
Yes, and after Jesus left the temple, he went eastward up the huge hill directly across from the temple area called, still to this day, the Mount of Olives. And at the base of this hill is the Garden of Gethsemane with all the olive trees.
Yeah, you know, I remember walking up that hill. It was impressive.
Yes, and what a view from the top overlooking Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know from earlier chapters in Matthew, as in chapter 16, that his closest disciples knew by this time that he was going to die. So in verse 3, while on the top of the Mount of Olives, they question him about the end of the age and the sign of when he would come back. So verses 4 through 8 is his response.
"Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Now, these signs of his return are also confirmed in the six seals of Revelation 6, which actually opens Jacob's trouble. Therefore, he's about to briefly outline the tribulation here in Matthew 24. And by the way, we are already experiencing, as you know, the many foreshadows of all these signs that were just given. However, on a much greater scale it will be during the 7 years of God's wrath. We are very close because right now we do see these signs happening and happening all at the same time.
And the very first thing Jesus warns about is deception.
Mm-hmm. Many will lie, claiming they are Christians, and some will even pretend to be Christ on earth, forgivers of sin, but do not be deceived. And then wars and rumors of them, Gentiles against Gentiles, which is the Greek meaning of the word for nations, famines in many places of the world, new strains of pestilence constantly emerging, and earthquakes are off the charts, especially in California.
And, you know, many other signs that are not even mentioned in Matthew.
For sure. As in a soon-to-be-confirmed covenant prophesied by Daniel in chapter 9:27, we talk about a lot. Anyhow, then in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 14, he warns them that those living just before he returns to earth will be hated for being a Christian. Love will grow colder, and false prophets will increase.
Now, you know, we could do a whole program on any one of these.
For sure. But then he continues to say to endure to the end. And yes, today, because of increased persecutions worldwide, endurance can apply to us, depending on where you live, especially today's martyrs. But even more so here, he is addressing the tribulation saints, since his context is the tribulation. But today, as we said, we see the foreshadows big time. So anyway, let's pick it up in verse 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Now, it's important to note that it will be during the tribulation that the gospel will finally get to all the nations, and therefore does not have to happen before the rapture of his true church, which some are implying. This will mostly be achieved by the 144 saved Israelites.
144,000.
I'm sorry, 1,000.
That's 12,000 from each tribe in Revelation 7.
Yes. And when the Jews flee to the south, the 144,000 will go to the other nations, which means Gentiles, and preach. Now, in verse 15 through 18, we are right now in the exact middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist sits in the temple declaring himself God, as did Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel 11.
Yeah, it was called the abomination of desolation.
And Jesus says, when you see that again, get out of town quickly and take nothing.
Well, because God will provide.
That's right. Just like he did when they fled Egypt.
And also confirmed in Revelation 12.
Mm-hmm. God will give them wings like eagles and lead them back to the same area as in the book of Exodus. But this time, not Joshua, who was a type of Jesus, but Jesus himself will escort them into the promised land at the end of Jacob's trouble. Paul did say in Romans 15:4 that what has been written in the past is for our learning today.
Mm-hmm.
History can repeat itself, different players, but still in all. All right, let's pick it up in verses 19 through 21.
But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath.
He's obviously speaking to the saved Jews who would not travel on the Sabbath.
For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Mm-hmm. Now, verse 22 is an important verse which is often misinterpreted, and we need to explain it right after you let our listeners know how they can contact us.
Okay. Be sure to send your comments or your end-time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back. That is, if you leave a message with your phone number, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And, yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Yes, they are. Okay, honey, please read Matthew 24, verse 22.
And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will go shortened.
Okay, a lot to unpack here, but worth it. Because we have heard this verse totally misconstrued due to not using the first principle of proper hermeneutics, and that is that Scripture interprets Scripture. I have actually heard teachers claim that this proves the tribulation years will be shorter than 7 years, even though that interpretation would contradict other Scriptures and fall into the hands of the naysayers who insist the Bible is full of contradictions, which it, of course, is not. So verse 22 is referring to just the daylight hours, because the sun will be very hot, extremely hot. So those 24 hours will be mostly in the dark.
And we have Scripture to confirm that.
Yes, we do. Revelation 8:12. Could you read that?
Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
There it is. Says it right there. We also have one from the prophet Amos in chapter 8, verse 9.
And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God.
And, of course, in that day always means after the rapture.
I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight.
There you have it. So for the elect's sake, which are now the tribulation saints, the daylight is shortened. You know, FYI, Israel was called the elect in the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:4. We are now his elect, and after we are gone, his new righteous will be the elect. Okay, let's read verses 23 through 28, which are self-explanatory.
Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together.
Now, this is similar bird verbiage that's used in Revelation 19 when he returns. So Jesus tells them how he will return to them, the tribulation saints and the 144,000.
Yeah, that is called the second coming.
Yes. His bride will have already been called up to meet him in the air about a week before the tribulation begins, and that would be prior to Revelation 6. In fact, Revelation 4 is a prophecy of that, when John, a type of the church, is called up with the trumpet shout. And now, verse 29 of Matthew 24, well, it expands this information about his second coming.
Immediately.
Oh, and by the way, the Greek word for immediately is metatata, which means at the very moment of the end of the 7 years. So about sundown.
After the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn.
By the way, the tribes of the earth, or earth dwellers, is an idiom for the unrighteous.
And they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
This event is in no way the rapture. This is the gathering of the tribulation saints, who are now called his elect, by the angels. Totally different from 1 Corinthians 15:51 or 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And also, it's the great trumpet, not the last trumpet. And these are two of three different idioms for different feast days of our Lord's appointments that he will still keep. I'll go over those real quick. We've done this before, but Pentecost is actually called the first trump because it was on Pentecost that God sounded the first shofar in Scripture, Exodus 19. Then you have Rosh Hashanah, goes by the idiom last trump because it is the final blast from 100 blasts on God's new years. And then there is the great trump, and that sounded on Yom Kippur to anticipate a jubilee year, according to Leviticus 25.
So, we are given here in verse 31 a huge clue.
Absolutely. That Jesus will return to earth at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur to keep that appointment. And let's get real. That will be a real jubilee.
So many clues remind me of Proverbs 25, verse 2.
Oh, yeah. Let me paraphrase. God glories in hiding things so that we can find them. In other words, it really pleases him that we, as his kings and priests, receive his blessing when we uncover his truths.
Okay, moving on. Verses 32 to 35 talks about the fig tree.
Yes, essentially it's saying when Israel, represented by the fig tree, or the pleasant plant in Isaiah 5, when it blooms again as it was declared a Jewish state in 1948, no, Jesus' return is near, and some of the generation that sees this miracle will still be alive when all these things take place.
So it has to be soon.
Yes. And add this prophecy to all the many other signs, and if this doesn't get you excited, well, you just might not be saved.
Yeah, you know, if that's the case, fix it.
For sure.
Now, these next verses, 36 through 44, you know, that's always a hot topic.
Yes, the famous no one knows the day or the hour of his return, and often used to say we can't know the time of year or what we know, or that we know is close. But let's dig a little deeper. The next appointment for Jesus to fulfill is the Feast of Trumpets, or in Hebrew, Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year, which celebrates creation, specifically man. Because it is the only appointment of the seven that begins on a new moon, it therefore lasts for 2 days to be sure of the moon's occurrence. Paul says he will call us up at the last trump. Again, the idiom for the Feast of Trumpets, some fall season. And confirmed in James 5, when he says it will be at the time of the fruit harvest.
So we don't know which day, and certainly not the hour.
Especially since there are many different time zones.
Right, so at an hour, you don't expect.
And then he says, be ready, which essentially means be sure you are truly saved in your heart and not just in your head, as some are. As referenced in Matthew 7:21. By the way, Mark 13 makes it even clearer by specifying that, well, we're just not going to know if it's in the morning or at night.
again, this does not necessarily mean decades or centuries, but could just be a 48-hour period.
Right. And, of course, the other signs must be evident, too, as it is, and especially that covenant with death, Daniel 9, verse 27. Well, that should be at least on the table and ready to be confirmed by Israel and the other nations.
Then chapter 24 closes with the faithful servant versus the evil servant.
Actually, the evil unrighteous versus the righteous, the wise servant who will enter the millennial kingdom. And finally, verses 45 through 51 certainly has application for us today. But more specifically, it is addressing those during the tribulation, because that's what this chapter is about. Now, verse 42 and verse 50 implies that if you are of the righteous, well, then you should be watching. The unrighteous will be evil and certainly not looking for the Messiah, and therefore will be cut in two and end up where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I would say that confirms that there is a literal place of eternal torment. Yuck. An absolute gruesome judgment. The Greek word for cut in two is dikotomeo, literally translated, shall cut him in pieces, and refers to how they would cut certain sacrifices. Do you remember how Abraham in Genesis 15:10 split the animals in two when he made covenant with God? Since the unrighteous will have to suffer the consequences of not accepting the sacrifice of Christ, well, they will pay the sacrifice themselves with their own bodies. This should really give you a burden for the lost. So, are you looking for him? Or are you dull-hearted with the, whatever, whenever, happens attitude? Be honest with yourself. Are you a faithful servant of the gospel? Are you paying attention to the many signs and sharing your faith with the lost? Are you truly saved, or is it just a head knowledge? Salvation is not about religion. Your church affiliation cannot save you. So if any doubts, start over afresh. Or if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, repent and make him Lord over your entire life, not just part of it, and grab onto it right now while there is yet time. For the window is closing, and it's always your choice. We are only a remnant, and we are taking that narrow road. Praise the Lord, someone showed me the path to that road. So let's all reach out and help bring more onto this narrow road to at least try to make it a crowded one. He loves you. He's calling out to you. But again, it has to be your choice. So I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622-27. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yunecha. Yasei Adonai panav elecha v'yasem v'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time. Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. Well, you're going to prosper in every way possible. And that's, of course, Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, talk to someone about Jesus. And if you've never detailed Matthew 24, that could be your study for this week. God bless you all, and shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.